This morning I want to share about three wise men. And I want to share a little bit from the words from Abraham and James and then Paul the Apostle. Now, when I mention those names, I almost want to say, if we can come back for a moment to a worldly place, if they were a team, I would want to put up my hand and say, I want to be in that team. The team of James, Paul, Abraham, big men. God used them powerfully, mightily, and we can learn from them. And there's three things that I want to hold before us this year. I want to start this morning and I want to read from James. James chapter 1, verse 19 to 17. And I really trust I'm going to be preaching to myself this morning as well. A lot of the things that I read, a lot of the things I study, I can just say, God, you're speaking to me as well. It's to my heart. And as God has got always a way when we prepare sermons or whatever we want to present, God speaks to us first. And he said, you better listen as well. And you also do. So I want to encourage you. I've made the mistake a few times in my life that I sat somewhere in a church service and I thought, oh, well, I know where this guy is going. And I kind of drift a bit and switch off. And then we can call that pride. You know, and then we miss what God wants to say to us. So this morning, I want to encourage you to keep your heart and your ears open and to listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to minister to you this morning. James chapter 1, verse 19 to 27. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forget what it was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Now, I guess we can take a whole Sunday and we can minister on that and share on that and talk about it this morning. But this morning, I just want to use about a third of the time to look at what James, the brother of Jesus Christ, what an older brother it must have been to have someone like Jesus Christ. I wonder when they played games and hide and seek, what Jesus was like. Was he just like a normal child and they laughed and fell and what fun did they had? But here we've got James who grew up with this brother of him, God and man at the same time. And here he's quoting, he's using the words of Jesus. Now church, it's so important, you know, in the parenting course that we also present and that we will do again later in the year, we actually say that children decide when they will be punished. Because we as parents, with God behind us, the authority that we have, we will lay down the rules in our house and we will say, you may not bite your brother, you may not steal, etc. And when you do that, there will be an appropriate punishment, okay? So we give it to them, it's in their hands, and then they decide, I'm going to listen and I'm going to do or not. And then there will be consequences. But for us, it's so important. We've got scripture, we've got the word, and there's a little picture I want to show you. Quality isn't that well. But you know, many times in life, we are at the top picture. We say, God, speak to us. God, give us a revelation. God, lead us out of the circumstances. And praise God that he do speak to us. But then on the second picture, you can see the man stands almost there in amazement, like now he receives scripture, and he wanted something else to hear. You know, like almost like, okay, God, I received this and what else? You know, the primary thing that we need to obey in this life is the word of God. That is scripture. There's no way left or right around that one. God needs to speak to us through scripture. Don't say God is silent if your Bible is closed. Many times you'll hear someone saying, I don't hear God's voice. And then we should take the dust off our Bibles, open it up, and God starts to speak to us through his word as well. That is primarily what we need to obey. You know, James is encouraging his listeners here with all his heart and to tell them, listen, obey. You hear, he doesn't say there's something wrong with hearing. It starts with hearing. Hearing and then doing. Listening to the word, what it ministers to our hearts, and then do it. In, you know, James definitely, you know, he spent a lot of time with his brother Jesus Christ. What the brother to spend time with. And he used basically the words of Christ here in Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. And I'm just going to read verse 24 to 26 to you, the words of Jesus. And he says, Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The wise man and the foolish man. The man who hears the words of Christ or reads scripture and does them, that man will be blessed. And then there's the foolish man who listens but doesn't obey. The child needs to get the punishment and the reprimands all the time. And here we have it. God is speaking to us as a church. And I want to encourage us right here at the start of the year, of this new year, that we can also come to God and to say, God, what are you saying to me? God, what do you want me to do differently this year? God always wants us to draw close. God always wants us to obey. Okay? And if you ask me this morning, and maybe you can say, Lord, I'm not sure what you are saying to me. There's a place where God will tell you something specific in circumstances. But start with obeying the word. I want to encourage you and I, there's a blessing in this. That as we spend time in scripture throughout the year, and we hear it with our heart, and we obey it, that there will be a blessing in that. Because God loves obedience. Many times sometimes the past holiday I spent in South Africa time with family, and one person was talking about studying a bit of Hebrew, and I mean, I'm all for that. We can dig into scripture, Greek and Hebrew, but if we still don't obey, what does it bring to us, you know, and get deeper and higher revelations, but then we don't bear the fruit. That must be in line with becoming more intimate. Now, as I said to you, over the past 2 days or so, previous few days, I spent a bit of time, and I really said, God, you speak to me this new year as well. Minister to my heart. And I promise you, whenever we say that to God, he will speak to us. He will bring something to us. So I had such a good laugh by myself. Usually I read scripture from my study Bible, and then I go to a commentary or two or three just to see what the authors say. Can I understand a bit more about the background and the context and the people and the first audience and those type of things? And then, you know, many times I'll go to my exegetical commentary to see if I can't get a bit of deeper revelation, something that I can share with you that maybe you didn't know before. Now I want to read something to you. I always think God has got a sense of humor regarding this hearing and doing. Please listen while I read you from my very deep revelation of the exegetical commentary. It says, it's in the commentary regarding the scripture, it says, the very people reading this book may be among those most prone to deceive themselves into thinking they are obeying the gospel precisely because they are studying detailed reference works like this one. They are probably scholars, pastors, teachers. Hey, now I'm going to close this book. He's not talking to me here. What do you mean I don't obey? It says, they are probably scholars, pastors, teachers, or serious and committed lay people if they go into this much depth in the analysis of Scripture. But countless Christians with access to and interest in such resources often fool themselves into thinking that new insights, proclaiming God's words in their sphere of influence, or the good feeling that comes from communing with God and others in the process of studying the Bible can substitute for actual obedience to Scripture's commands. Okay? Pastors, teachers, scholars, we read and we want to understand to feed the sheep. Nothing wrong with that. All biblical. But if I, on my way to church this morning, skip a red light or speak in a dreadful way during coffee break to my wife, what will you think? What will you say about the fruit in my life? And I was sitting here and I was just having a laugh on myself. with all my goodness, I guess, in the heart, wanting to share something. And then it speaks to me, wants to dig deeper, and it says, listen, you obey first. You need to hear, and you need to obey as well. It goes on and it says, by contrast, those whose devotion to God's words lead to greater obedience to his will, not only demonstrate the reality of their faith, but finds a blessing in the very process of honoring God through their behavior. So it doesn't say they listen, if you have this right, ticks the boxes, etc., then you will be blessed. All of us, we need to obey. May we be a church this year who hear and who does, who obey, who's faithful to the things that God is teaching us. And as I said, this picture, we already have scripture. God speaking to us through the voices of the Pauls and the James and the Abrahams of life. All these mighty men speaking to us. I guess we can pay attention to these words of James, who quoted basically Jesus when he said, everyone who has ears, these words, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be a wise man. Let us be wise men and wise women and hold the mirror in front of ourselves here at the start of the year and say, God, where do I think other people should obey? And let's start with ourselves in obeying what God is saying to us. Then I want to go on. The second person is Paul the Apostle, the mighty man of God, Saul the Pharisee, who persecuted the churches and there on the Damascus Road had a powerful encounter with Christ, started to become a powerful Christian. And we read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 10, something that I believe is also profound for us here at the start of the year, because all of us will be able to relate with this. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What do we usually do in the world? We want to, if you've got a weakness, we want to blame shift. Ah, my father was like this. I grew up like that. Or we want to hide it away. We're so ashamed sometimes. Who have you applied in the last few years for a job and made a list to your new employer? These are my weaknesses. I am proud of having them because God is powerful when I'm weak. Doesn't sit so well with us, you know. The church, especially in the West, I think, battles a lot with this. I want to read a quote from Pastor John Piper specifically on this, and he says, one of the reasons biblical Christianity has to be so drastically distorted in order to sell to the mass market is that the market wants power to escape weakness in leisure, but Christianity offers power to endure weakness in love. My grace is sufficient for you. You know, so many times we get to places in life, and I know from my own experience, if we could change it, we would have. This marriage of mine, maybe my work, my boss, my employees, the people at the school, there where I work, a family member that's really sick, challenging circumstances where we stand and we cannot change it in our own strength, okay? And then we are on our knees, we go to God, and we really, really don't feel strong. And then he comes and he says, listen, I'm not going to take, because Paul pleaded for the thorn in his flesh to be taken away. God says, oh, shame, my child, I'll take it away. Poor you are suffering. Now he says, my grace will be sufficient. How many times in life, especially, I guess, young men with a lot of valor and feel strong in this world, we think we're going to change life. We're going to change this town, and I'm going to preach an amazing sermon just to fail terribly, you know. How many times in life we think we've got it all. I'm the best player on the field or whatever the circumstances might be. And then we literally crash and burn because of pride. God uses the humble, but he resists the proud. And you see, there will always in life be circumstances like these around us to keep us humble, to look to a powerful, mighty God. Because what Paul is saying here, Jesus said to Paul, listen, Paul, my grace for you will be enough in all circumstances. And that is what God is saying to us this morning as well. He's not just saying it to Paul. He's saying it to me and to you. I don't know what this year will hold before us, 2017. But God is saying to us, my grace will be sufficient, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Many times I felt sick. Maybe you can think of your own, yourself. You didn't feel like going to small group because you had a fever or you had a depressed day or something bad happened. Something is really bugging you. You don't even feel like praying. And you end up going to bed that night and God used you, somewhere God used you powerfully. Now, how beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? And it keeps us humble all the time. Paul goes on and, you know, I think something that we should just discern what he's saying and what he's not. So what is this weaknesses that Paul talks about? Well, we can look at verse 10 and it says, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardship, persecution, and calamities. That stuff that's happening all around us in our lives. Paul doesn't say with my sin or with my bad choices. He doesn't talk about those things. He doesn't talk about his sins or the bad decisions he made or something. He's talking about those weaknesses, things that's out of control. He doesn't say that, he's not saying that the power of Christ is perfected in my bad choices. No, in our weakness. And whenever during this year we stand in these circumstances surrounding us, our families, our marriages, maybe church, maybe there's something, someone that you really have a tough time working together with, that we think of the words of Paul, that we will hold it before us, and that we will know that God's grace will be enough because he says so, that he says so all the time. God thinks humility is more important than comfort. Humility is more important than freedom from pain. And you know, that is what John Piper was talking about when he says, listen, this doesn't always sell so nicely. This isn't something that is everyone is running after. Because we always look at ways and means to cover ourselves or position ourselves that something bad will not happen. And then when it happens many times, we will say, but it's the fault of the economy or my parents' fault or my wife doesn't love me. And the list goes on and on and we always want to blame shift. Instead to say, we look at you, God, and we know that your grace will be enough for us. So may that be a word in our hearts during this year as well. First, that we will be hearers and that we will be doers of God's word. Secondly, that we will stand with Paul and believe that his grace is enough for us in all circumstances. And then thirdly, we go right there to a man who was once a pagan. We go to Abraham. And I want to read you here from Genesis 18, verse 9 to 14. They said to him, where is Sarah your wife? And he said, she's in the tent. The Lord said, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah your wife shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of woman had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. I think I understand what Sarah felt like. She was old. Abraham was old. It didn't make sense to have children anymore, even though it was their heart's desire. And here God Almighty comes, and he asks, and he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? People, that is a word that has kept me standing a few times in my life. You know, and the The answer to that question, I think it will depend on who you ask. How big is God? Is anything too hard to God? You might want ask one person who's not a man of faith in life in our town, and he or she might reply something like, well, I don't know. I don't know if God really exists. You might get an answer like that. Secondly, someone might say something like, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe God can, I'm not sure. And then the man of faith will stand up and he or she will say, God can do it. I know him. That's his character. Our God is mighty. Our God is powerful. No matter what this year holds before us, God is powerful. Just three chapters after that, we read in Genesis 21, verse 1 to 3. It says so beautifully, so powerfully, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to them. Abraham called the name of his son, who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. Powerful part is, as he has said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he promised. God's word is eternal. God's word is powerful. And when God makes a promise, he will fulfill it. Jesus will come back because Scripture says so. And I believe it with all my heart. Believe it with all my heart. And church, this year, right here at the start of the year, that's always an excellent time. We can stand and we can plan and we can pray for this new year. And there might be things that seems too hard for God. Lord, will my business recover? Lord, will you save some of my family members whose hearts seem to be so tough? Lord, will you heal me? Lord, will you provide for me? Lord, will you protect me? Lord, do you have a plan for my life? And God will come to you and he will say, is anything too hard for me? I'm God Almighty. That's right there in Genesis. And then basically God takes all the rest of Scripture, showing us signs and wonders, parting the Red Sea, Jesus dying on a cross, God's power resurrecting him, the early church, the spread of the gospel. And we've got so many pages and pages full of God's love and full of God, the way he provides for us. God showing himself to us as faithful. And that's why I love the way we ended last year with our Thanksgiving service, where we could stand up and say, God, for another year, you looked after us. You provided us. And church, right here at the start of the year, we've got a mission statement who says, we want to go to the nations and the generations. We want to make disciples, raise leaders, and plant churches. And then we think on the other hand of the scale, there's about 7 billion people. Lord, how we will accomplish that? But God says, is anything too hard for me? God is, his will always come to fulfillment in my life and in yours. And I wanna encourage you to prayerfully consider this year and not to think too small. Because when we look at the task ahead, God gives us always something to accomplish that we cannot do in our own strength. Because if we were able to do it in our own strength, we can say, Saki, well done. Powerful Saki, you did an amazing job. But God wants the glory. God wants the honor. And it will belong to him. God uses his church for his mission, but for his glory as well. And when we testify in church and have the opportunity to share testimonies, and we can say, there was no way out of this situation, but God provided. God made a way. Then he gets the honor and the glory, which he definitely deserves. You know, in John chapter 20, we read about Thomas and the other disciples. Jesus appeared to them, and they believed. They saw Jesus with the marks on him. Thomas said, I will not believe until I see for myself. And 8 days later, and this is a picture that I think God gives us as well. 8 days later, with the doors locked, Jesus Christ appeared among his people. And he said, Thomas, come here. Have a look. Do you see? Touch. And he said, Lord, my God, now I believe. You know, all of us coming to this world as Thomases. None of us coming to this world saved and spirit-filled. We come and we don't believe until a certain day or place in our lives when we say, Lord Jesus, I'm nothing. Please save me from my sin. Save me from death. Save me from the cross. And he imparts new life to us. Beautiful new life. And then it ends there and it says, in Jesus' words, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I didn't see the Red Sea open. I didn't see a lot of, I saw nothing in Scripture for that matter. Okay, it was way before my life, before my time. But you know, as we live and we have intercession and we go on missions and have small group, we see God's hand upon our lives. And we can say, God, this is definitely your doing. This or that was from you. It's not from me. So here, right at the start of the year, may we be those who are not like Thomas. Even though we didn't see, that we will believe. And that we can agree with Scripture and say, God, anything is possible. Anything and everything is possible for you. I end off with Matthew 19:26. Jesus and the Father was one. Jesus' words, he says here, Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. May it be like a seed in our hearts. May it be like something growing powerful this life, in this year and in our lives. Many times we become discouraged. I know from personal experience, I've sat with many people over the years when we get to a T-junction or a crossroad in our spiritual walk with God, in our faith, maybe you're disillusioned. I don't know even how you feel this morning. And then we say, we don't know anymore, God. I'm not sure anymore. But I want to reassure you this morning that Jesus said, with man, these things will not be possible. But with God, all things are possible. Look at your year, your job, your calling in church, where God has planted you in this town, and say, Lord, I want to excel for your glory. I want to accomplish what you have asked me to do. I want to live for your glory. Not through my own strength, but through God, all things are possible. And that's a prayer for my life. I believe it's a prayer for us as a church. Something we can hold on to. Something we can believe in. I want to ask now, since it's the first Sunday of the year, the new year, Sakin, you guys, maybe you can just help me to hand out the communion. And we're going to start with, you can hand out, yes, please, with having communion. Whenever we're having communion, we know it's pointing to the cross, to Jesus Christ, the finished work on the cross. Jesus dying there, his blood being spilled. But because of that, because of the Father's love, that we can have new life in Christ, that we can be made new, that we can be born again. And I'm going to give you a moment just now when everyone has got the communion, the elements, that you use it and that you take a minute or two or three and just think about the words of these three men of God, Abraham, James, and Paul. James saying to us this morning, church, people, listen and do. Be hearers and do what Scripture says. In the words of Paul, my grace is sufficient for you in all circumstances, and there will be weaknesses. Thirdly, Abraham, standing there as an old man, God making a covenant with him, promising him a son and offspring. Sarah laughing from a place of the flesh. But as God has promised, 3 years, three chapters later, a son was born. And there the whole lineage started. God is faithful. What God says, he will accomplish that in my life, in yours, and in Scripture. So I want to give us a moment, then use communion, and just take some time and say, Lord, is anything too hard for you? Pray over your own life. If you are here, husband and wife, maybe a good friend sitting next to you, you can take hands. You can pray together and you can say, God, I trust on you. I stand on your word that you're a great God, that you're a powerful and a big God, that your grace is sufficient for me in this season of my life and in every other one.